I'll just say a little prayer as we begin. Oh Lord God, we praise you that we can be here this morning in your presence. I pray that this would be a time of true rest. Lord, as we hear a little more from your word, I pray that you would be speaking into our hearts about how we might rest in your presence this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm focusing, as you might imagine, on the Matthew passage. It begins at that time. We don't know what that time was. It's a technique that Matthew uses. One day this happened, at that time that happened. But it seems to follow on a little bit from the previous passage, where Matthew talks about these things, or rather, he's recording Jesus' words about these things. Well, what are these things? Jesus has just talked about really those who will be saved, those who will be in heaven, and those who will go down to the dead. That's the previous passage that we've looked at previously. Jesus talks about people who think of themselves as clever and wise, as opposed to those who are childlike. So he's looking a bit in his prayer at people's thoughts, what they think of themselves. I was thinking myself about what does it mean to be childlike, and I know I use my daughter as an illustration sometimes, but Rhoda, who's 2 1/4, if she wants something, she'll call out to us, Mummy, Daddy, and especially at about 6:30 or 7 in the morning, she'll call out to us, and we'll go and get her out of bed. So she asks. If she can't find something, she goes looking for it. She seeks. And there's one door that she still can't get through very well, so she knocks on that one if she can't get through, and she wants to come to be in the room with us. So I think perhaps being childlike is following Jesus' pattern of asking, seeking, and knocking. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, in verse 26, Jesus goes on to say that it pleases the Father to reveal things to the childlike. He reveals things to us as his children. I think it's in Mark's Gospel. It says about where Jesus uses the parables and how the parables reveal things to the disciples and explains them. But actually, those who are outside of the church, if you like, outside of his followers, things remain hidden when he speaks in parables. And maybe that has something to do with those who are following him, submitting to him and becoming like children, and just actually accepting what he says as the truth for life. In verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest." I think that's one of the most wonderful passages in Scripture. It's wonderful because of the condition we're in our lives. And that condition is lives that are burdened in all sorts of ways. A lot because of our sin, but there's all sorts of trials and tribulations in life. Have a rest. I think Jesus offers this rest because he's humble and gentle in heart. That's what he says. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We read in Luke, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what's in Jesus' heart. He really wants us to have a rest. His desire is for us to have a rest. Where Jesus gives us an easy yoke and a light burden. He doesn't want to weigh us down with the law, which he often talks about, especially the way the Pharisees interpret the law and put burdens on people, those human rules and regulations. He wants to give us a yoke, a burden, really, of listening to him, resting in him. What are the things that weigh us down? Well, firstly, there's ourselves, there's me. Who am I? What's my significance in the world? What's my identity? If you go to a party, it's often the first thing people will ask, oh, what do you do for a living? Sometimes it's quite an interesting question, but often it's just a way into a conversation. And we often find our identity in what we do. And maybe that's not the best place to find our identity. Maybe we want to be beautiful. We want people to like me, love me, adore me. Maybe you have that sort of approach to life. And I think certainly do a lot of work with young people, as you know, and I think they're encouraged to think like that, about people really liking them as the sort of ultimate thing, if you like. Other things that weigh us down are successes in life. I must be at the top of my game. That's my ultimate aim. Or maybe failures. I failed in the past. I'm going to fail again. Perhaps money weighs us down. I want to be rich, or I am rich, don't know what to do with it all. Or I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet. I haven't got anything. Perhaps family weighs us down. Families are complicated. Perhaps I've got older relatives to look after. Maybe I don't want my grandchildren to make the same mistakes that I made. All sorts of stuff that goes on in families. Maybe old age is something that weighs us down. Or our health. Our health's failing. Maybe the future. Where will I live when I get a job? What will I do when I retire? Perhaps even love weighs us down. I feel unlovely, or I find it hard to love. I find it hard to love particular people, maybe. But then we have this lovely passage that we've just read in Matthew 11. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke's easy to bear. The burden I give you is light. He wants to take those worries, those anxieties, those things that weigh us down. In Romans 12, verse 2, we read this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, which is pretty much what I've been talking about. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Jesus wants us to have a rest. He doesn't want us to be thinking about those things all the time. He wants to take all those worries and anxieties on himself. We know, in a way, that's what he's done on the cross. But do we believe it in here? The yoke he gives us is to follow him, to see what he's doing and join in. What does Jesus do? He brings the kingdom of heaven to earth. He brings healing to people. He makes broken relationships new and restored and whole again. And ultimately, he has the power to save us and bring us to new and eternal life. That might sound like a lot to do, but Jesus isn't putting that yoke on us in that sense. He's taking away all those things that are worrying and anxiety making, and he's actually giving us things that are awesome and wonderful and life-changing and transforming. Jesus knew the difficulties that focusing on the list that I read could bring: success, failure, money, family, etc. But he didn't let them weigh him down. Why? Because he wanted to please his Heavenly Father. And the way he found out what was pleasing to his Heavenly Father was to take time out with him, often in solitary places, we read, resting in his Father's presence, listening to him and discerning his Father's will. I only do what I see the Father doing, he's quoted as saying. Of course, Jesus' ministry had busy moments, and that's why he took time to rest with the Father. They weren't business meetings that he had with the Father, but they were times of awe and wonder. Perhaps the awe and wonder that we hear in a child when it sees something beautiful, like a butterfly, or the awesomeness of stars or the moon, and that wow moment. That's what it's like when we really rest in God's presence. It's a wow moment. May we be amazed by Jesus' humanity and delighted by his majesty, who he is in relation to us. It's wonderful that he takes our burdens. So may we take time to marvel at him. That our minds, our thoughts, our knowledge be turned to humbly receiving what our Creator reveals to us. It may not mean sleeping or getting into a sleeping bag or a bed, but it will mean coming to Jesus, being with him, and he will give us perfect rest. Amen.